Beastcast, the Snowmageddon edition of the Beastcast. I am here. This is Steve Miggs, Reverend Fuego.
Hi.
Glenn Cannon.
Hey.
That's right. We missed you last time.
Missed you guys too, man.
But the reason why, which I think you should share, and we shared it with someone that was in studio that questioned whether or not you can handle driving it. So I'm like, no, you don't understand. Glenn is able to get here. He's not here because he could drive in the snow so well.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know if you guys would share that or not, but I wanted everyone. Basically, I drive these days 6 to 10 and 4 to 8 during kind of the hottest hours. Or sometimes I'll just go like 6 to noon if I'm really cooking. Well, since when did the snow start? Sunday or Monday?
Of last week,
Yeah.
Sunday.
Sunday.
So no one would drive in it. And I mean,
Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, there you go.
I would log into my little Uber app, and I mean, in my driveway, I'm still like scratching my nose. And it would start going nuts. And it was all for pickups like 20 minutes away. And I'm like, well, all right. And I'd just start driving. I'd get there, and the people would be like, oh my God, thank you.
Yeah.
I waited a half an hour for it to find a car. So most of the guys that drive Uber Lyft.
They're like, F this.
Yeah, they're like, I'm not even going out in this. So like that Tuesday morning, I started again around 6 a.m. And yeah, I was down. I think that whole day I worked the Renton area, which in truth, most of those neighborhoods were shoulder to shoulder, about a 4-inch deep.
Yeah.
Ice pack.
Nobody would go around to any of those areas. To, like, there's no plows or anything.
Oh, dude, and it was, I mean, I drove around in there all day. It was a sheet of ice. I spent a lot of time at about a 30-degree angle.
What a sheet show.
Yeah, it was a total sheet show. But I was making so much money. And that literally, I saw what time it was. I'm like, man, I'm almost already going to be late for the show. And I texted Steve and Rev and was like, guys, look, I'm making so much money. I think I called it the Uber lottery, the rideshare lottery. If I stay out, I stand to make, you know, $250-$300 before noon. I love you guys.
but
I'm going to stay out here. And yeah, both you guys are like, dude, all good.
I would do that too. I was about to join Uber just for that moment.
You guys explained you had a whole studio full of guests. I'm like, okay, it's going to be a great show.
We had six people replace you.
Yeah. Well, the bummer.
Six people,
and it did, and it still wasn't as awesome as having you here.
Absolutely,
straight.
Well, it did bum me out because I met someone in passing. I might have even been a girl I gave a ride, and somehow or other we got talking about the fact that we knew Levi Lyon.
Okay,
everybody knows
and
Levi,
then
right?
Somehow or other, I was telling her about when I lived in Orlando, Florida. My roommate Keith and I. Keith came home, he's like, dude, I got a 7-Up machine. And we had a full-size 7-Up machine. We had to carry up two flights of steps to get to our apartment.
Which
was a bummer. But we kept it stocked with Corona.
Nice.
And so when people would come over and party, they'd fire in the quarters. Hey, man, can I get a beer? Yeah, help yourself.
Yeah, if you have quarters.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, and the girl was cracking up. She's like, you're kidding. I'm like, yeah, man, we had this 7-Up machine in our apartment in Florida. And she's like, well, I know this guy. He had a vending machine in his apartment and blah, blah, blah. And it dispensed all kinds of stuff. And she got tiny. And he has a bus. I'm like,
I can only imagine.
And so we put the piece together. I'm like, is his name Levi? And she's like, yeah. And then, yeah. So then we're geeking out about how awesome Levi is. So I was dying to see Levi on Tuesday because I could have been like, bro, so you also had a vending machine in your home at one time.
That is so weird. I had a vending machine in my home too.
Really?
My grandpa.
I wish I had.
Steve, where have you been?
Yeah, right?
I clearly have been failing at life.
My grandpa had a.
I don't think so, but.
He had a. He was a hobbyist. When it came to doing mechanic stuff, it's like what you would do. You'll help people out, and the neighbors hated it. They hated the fact that there were cars out front,
the car farm.
And he would always be working on something, and they just hated it. So there was a while where they were like, "You can't do this anymore because you're running a business." So he's like, "All right, I'll go run a business," and he did it down in Lakewood. And so he had a little garage, and eventually it just didn't work out. There's too much rent dealing with all this stuff, and. Trying to get people to pay on time when it's your friends, it's kind of a pain in the ass. But he had a pop machine. And so when it was done, he just brought it back, stuck it right next to the sliding glass door in the back patio. And it was always full of pop.
That's awesome.
It cost a quarter, but they left quarters around everywhere. Yeah. Like there was a bowl of quarters if you wanted it. And that's basically why I drank so much Mountain Dew.
Good.
Because it was always available.
Bro, if I would have had a vending, I would have been drinking this stuff constantly too, man.
And that was just because it was available. available. It was always stocked.
The novelty of it is amazing.
Yeah, you know it was great. And it was like somebody's like, okay, get some of the drink. It's like, yeah, you want a soda? They're like, yeah, sure. It's like, all right, go ahead and go in the back.
The machine's in the back.
Yeah, it was easy.
Take a quarter while you're going out there. That is too cool.
Yeah,
that's
it was
awesome.
Fun.
Yeah, the whole Levi, that is funny, though. That, luckily, yeah, Levi,
I can't remember where I met
her.
We'll
probably see him again in the near future, and Levi's always swinging by.
We'll hug it out over that. But
and Levi's actually doing homework. I don't know if it's going to happen. He's like, I'm doing the homework to find out, but he'd like to take the party bus and take us to Steel Panther in Vancouver.
Oh, my God.
That'd be cool.
Yes. Yeah. He just doesn't know about like how getting over customs and you know all that. He's doing the research, he told me. He texted me last week. And he's
God,
like,
that'd be so cool if he did
because he
that.
Thought it'd be a lot of fun. To take us all up there to Steel Panther,
yeah,
and that'll be our
heart,
tour bus.
Man,
that would be our tour bus.
Yeah, can that thing tow a trailer?
We wouldn't need to, though. If he takes the big one, we could put all the gear in the bus.
Oh, God, you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Right? It's not like we're going with, like, 30 people. It'd be, like, probably 6 or 7 of us total.
Yeah. Okay, man, that is awesome. Because I thought I basically was going to get the RV dusted off and ready for us.
Yeah, so
but it's not,
fingers crossed.
Not nearly as cool as Levi's
party
bus.
Bus that has a stage on top of it and maybe a stripper pole
inside
of it.
Yeah, the Steel Panther guys would be like, really?
Right? It's like, yeah. How do you guys have a cooler ride than us?
I know.
You're off the tour.
Yeah, the Panther guys are all on the Brody bus, you know? And yeah.
And that's April 11th, 12th, and 13th at the Commodore Ballroom in Vancouver. Oof. So get your tickets. The 13th is sold out, but if you're anywhere near the Vancouver area, come party with us. It's going to be a blast.
It's going to be really cool.
Yeah.
As long as everything defrosts by April.
I'm imagining
like the snow will be gone by then, I hope. I'm hoping. Yeah. Like, I'm hoping it's going to be gone by the end of this week. But
the rain's peeling. Like, my drive-in was the best drive I've had all week because I've been in the studio all week, rain or shine, or snow or shine. But I got hung up in my neighborhood, some guy crawling along. And it's like ice pack and ruts and clear roads. It's a mess. Burien's a mess, at least my neighborhood was. And I've been driving our van. Which, you know, there's tread on the tires. They're not, honestly, the front tires are knobbier in the back. I thought about rotating them, but I'm like, man, it's cold out there.
It's good enough.
If I'm sideways, who cares? Just right. Get out of the way. And
I'm safe inside this
man,
thing.
I was following this guy up this just tiny little incline, and he's just putting along. I'm like, bro, please. And sure enough, I slid left, I corrected, but I got hung up in a big fat patch. And I had to put it in park, get out. I've got a snow shovel in the van now, and dig out around my tires. So it was just like, man, if you would have just done 10 instead of 4 miles an hour. I got stuck this morning trying to get here.
I've been so entertained by just watching people try to drive in all of this.
Dude, it's even on the freeways where it's completely clear. It's
doing
no different than 15
miles an hour.
Yeah, there was one
in
guy
the
doing
passing
that.
Lane.
Yeah,
and you're like you, and then as soon as you like you get over, which is dangerous sometimes. You get over, you pass them, and as soon as you pass them, they get in the lane that you were in. I'm like, you son of a bitch!
Why did you do that?
Could have done that before I passed you.
I popped out of the tunnel last night doing about 50.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, it was before the tunnel. It was right before the Jumpers Bridge. This guy came on, and there was snowpack against the little wall, though, and he just came right out into my lane and right out into the third lane, doing, I don't know, a mile an hour.
Right.
And I was doing 45. I'm like, oh! And, you know, you put it in neutral to take the idle circuit and the torque converter out of the equation.
Yeah.
Put it in neutral before you get into the brakes, and I'm slipping and sliding, and the van's going sideways, and this guy almost caused a serious wreck. Just stay home, man.
If you're scared of it, like, stay home. Like, that's what the most of the intelligent people are doing out there.
Right.
So the roads are pretty clear. And then out of those people that are still on the road, there's a good amount of people who know
what
they're doing.
Yeah.
And then there's
people that moved here from Chicago.
Yeah. And then there's like, you know? There's like a 1 or 2% of just morons. Just
moving at a snail's pace. I'm not asking for you to do 60. I get it. Look, I'm not saying don't go fast. Be smart out there. But doing 20 miles per hour on a freeway when everyone around you is doing 50 is not smart.
Or not clearing off your car. Like,
that too.
It was literally
chunks of ice
it was
and snow flying
It was
at
a car that was coated in snow. It was like a line to look out the front.
Yeah.
The side windows were completely snowed.
The
top, the back. Like the headlights were still coated. I'm like, where are you going? You're dumb. I hate you.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like,
the wind will blow it off.
And
my thing is, truly, man, because everyone's like, oh, everyone around here is such bad drivers. As a guy that drives 40 plus hours a week.
Gosh, yeah, right?
I got to go ahead and say, I think people around here honestly are great drivers. It's about every other week someone tries to kill me. Now, I consider that to be a fantastic ratio.
Yeah, for the amount of hours you're in the
car.
I mean,
really, about every 10th day I go, oh my God, you know, and I almost die because some idiot tries to kill me. But considering how much I drive,
yeah.
Man, the thing is, people here just don't have the experience. So no. I don't fault them for that. But the reason why I think you guys are both really on point with your usage of the word moron is if you don't have the experience.
Yeah.
Don't get in your goddamn car.
Right. It's just,
take a snow day.
Seriously.
Take a snow day and play.
What are you, like the guy you just described, yeah. I was laughing so hard. It's like, what are you doing?
Common sense dictates it. Wipe off the snow. Off, like,
at when least I left, clear the windows.
On Friday night, the snow hit, right?
Yeah.
And it started coming down pretty hard. I got that done with 3-2-1 battle, and I walk out at right outside the gym here in Seattle,
yeah.
And my car has got like a couple of inches of snow on it. So what did I do? I grabbed the old hoodie in the car.
Just dust off your windows, bro.
Dusted off the windows, dusted off the roof.
Well, good for you. I usually leave the roof. I'm that jackhole.
That moron.
Well, the van's tall, man. The van's tall, but I'm that guy.
I saw a video. Like, someone had a video. They had dash cam video, and then one of those big pieces of ice flew off, and it did what it did to your car, Steve.
Yeah, right.
It destroyed the windshield. And I'm like, I don't want to be the person to do that. Oh. And I'm really hoping it's not going to happen to me. So it's kind of like that karma sort of thing. Just hoping it doesn't happen to me. And I'll just make sure it doesn't happen to anyone else.
But the snow worked to my advantage, speaking of 3-2-1 battle. So, you know, I mentioned just recently how badly I want to get a match there, right?
Yeah.
So I go down because I'm like, okay, the snow sucks, but I could get down there. I got 4-wheel drive. And
even
like Steve the Booker is just like, hey, you're going to be able to make it. I'm like, yeah, I'll be down there. He goes, just in case, never know. We're getting a lot of cancellations from guys from Canada that were coming in, guys, you know, that live up north. He's like, bring your gear just in case. I'm like, oh, yeah, I was kind of thinking that you never know. I get there. He's like, you cool with doing a match? I'm like, absolutely.
Nice.
Had a match on, and granted, like, the place wasn't packed. And usually you have about 300-400 people at out of all fitness for a 3-2-1. And we would have
probably
had...
Hey, man, if you had 50
we had about 100.
Oh, God, that's cool.
Which was impressive.
Yeah, that's great.
And, dude, I got to have a match, and it was pretty awesome because I got to have a match against someone who I trained with, my friend Roy.
Did she pin you, dude?
No, I pinned her. I beat her.
Uh-huh. Yeah!
But
that's giving me a boner, too. I'm sorry. Oh, shut up, please.
No, it's hilarious. So, anyways, her character is Nurse Black, so she drugged me, and I wasn't able to hit her back because I was too messed up and high from the drugs that she gave me.
Damn it. It's just turning into Glenn's fantasy.
It's like
over here.
Tawny, we're going to 3-2-1 battle.
Front row.
Learn those sweet moves.
Why do you have a sign that says Nurse Black?
Okay,
kill me.
No reason.
So she drugged you. What happened next, Steve?
She
show us
me.
On the doll.
And then by the end of it, I came through by pounding a Bang energy drink.
Really?
Nice.
And I'm looking at Cody, who's one of the announcers. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, we're going to have this spot where I'm going to need that Bang energy drink that you have. So he's going to be like, what do you need? I'm like, that. He's like, I think Steve wants me to bang him. Bang energy.
My fantasy just took a dark turn.
Yeah, it did. And Cody looked good.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this part.
Slowly. My boner is fading. Shrinkage.
So now the crowd is chanting, bang him, bang him.
Awesome. Yeah, this did turn into a full-fledged penthouse
that's
forum.
Rad.
Bro, it was fantastic. It was a lot of fun. It was cool. It was like a whole different vibe. A lot of people were stepping up that don't usually have an opportunity to. It was just like, hey, show must go on. And
that's
whoever's
so cool.
around, let's make it happen. And we had a blast.
That's
so that was
great.
That
man.
Was cool.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about something funny that happened while we were in Portland. So on Saturday, myself, Munson, and J-Mac, we all, my hockey buddies, we went up to Portland, or down to Portland, for Defy Wrestling, where I was ring announcing. And, of course, we get there, we park the car, and we say we're not driving for the rest of the time because it's drinking time.
Yeah.
And so we were taking Ubers everywhere we would go. Glenn, I have a valuable lesson for you as an Uber driver.
Okay.
Cracking jokes, fine. Cracking Donald Trump jokes, not necessarily the wisest idea.
No.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's
just stay out of it.
So it's like one of those things, the last thing you want to hear from anyone who's driving you around or any situation where you're with a stranger, do you want to hear a joke?
Oh, God, no.
So, of course, I'm like, yeah, as I pull out my cell phone to video record him.
Oh, nice. Oh. You've got the audio.
So I have the audio, and you're going to hear how awkward it is because not only is this just, hey, you don't know what type of people we are. You know, Donald Trump is a rather hot button for some people.
Yeah, you always let the stranger or the new person or the rider, however you want to look at it, but I'm talking in life, right?
Yep.
Let them dictate the terms.
Yes.
If they start riffing about their hatred of, I don't know.
Pineapples.
Black shoelaces.
Right.
You know, engage them on that level. But you don't break the ice by saying, want to see the wart on the side of my unit?
Right.
You know, you don't do that. If someone's like, I deal with genital warps, be like, God, you should see this thing. It's a mile of rough road. That, but you got to engage on their terms.
And that's exactly what, so
by the way,
he
I'm in perfect
that.
Health.
He... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Feel free to sit in the front with Dan.
Yeah,
fun.
Sure. Yeah.
So he starts to tell him the joke, and it's about something about like Donald Trump and security, and then I was able to finally get the recorder going on my phone. But again, you just wait for the punchline. The reaction that we have is the most uncomfortable. We should laugh because he's driving us. And then his reaction to the fact that he could tell that we just weren't feeling this joke. And again, this was in the Uber.
I love Steve has the wherewithal to instantly dock
your
ass.
Oh, yeah. God, man.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I have to get the... Once you say, do you want to hear a joke? I'm like, yes.
Hold on.
Let me get my recorder.
Yes.
Okay. And go.
So the whole group goes over to park. Guy jumps out of the bushes with a gun, and the Secret Service guy yells, Mickey Mouse, Mickey Mouse! And nothing happens in the park. They get Trump back into the penthouse, and the head secret guy of service comes over and says, what were you babbling about out there? I'm sorry, sir, I got confused. I meant to yell, Donald Duck! Donald Duck!
Oh, that's just stupid.
It's clean.
It's clean. It definitely is that.
And then he kept going. And then for like the next couple minutes, he kept telling us how that was a funny joke.
Come on, guys. That's funny.
Come on.
I mean,
it's clean. I could tell. He goes, and eventually he goes, it's clean. I could tell that to anyone. I'm like, that doesn't mean you should.
Yeah.
The problem isn't that it's political. The problem is that it's not funny.
No, it's just dumb.
I mean, 5-year-olds in a playground would be like, huh. Okay, well, hand me the kickball, Johnny, and thanks for sharing.
Yeah, I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
And the no laughter is my response.
I think even Bad Joke Friday would be like, eh.
It's a terrible joke.
But it did lead to the entire night. One of us going, Donald Duck! Donald Duck!
Well, I'm just picturing you guys sitting there quiet, and he's like, what's black and blue and hates sex? The 4-year-old in the trunk of my car.
Oh,
you got to
it's
like,
clean.
Oh, dude.
I can tell that to anybody.
Can you just let us out now, man?
Right.
We need to leave.
That would actually have been the funniest response. You're like, we need to pull over.
Can you please pull over?
And then Munson the entire time kept asking every Hubert her. And so we're looking for someone to eat. We're here. There's a steakhouse called the Acropolis. How is it? And it was always fun to hear what kind of reactions you would get
What's
from some of the drivers.
What's the Acropolis?
The Acropolis is the...
You don't know?
It's considered to be one of the greatest strip clubs in all of America. America.
Oh.
It's Marilyn Manson's favorite strip club. It's known for is the guy who owns the Acropolis is also, I believe, a butcher or owns some kind of a ranch.
He's a butcher.
So he legitimately has cows and all types of stuff that they butchered, not on at the club, but that are his own property.
Now coming up on stage, Maisie Moo.
Right. Here comes Debbie, the cow. So
depending on what you're into, you can watch a girl carve up an animal or she can just undress.
So he cuts his own meat, which sounds kind of odd.
Yeah, right.
But then he sells it at the strip club for a ridiculous price. You can get a filet mignon for $11.
Yeah.
That's, oh my God.
Yeah, so, like the steaks are good.
And they're good.
Yeah, they're decent and they're cheap. Like it's like one of the best places to get a meal.
What's frightening is though, I'm picturing like it's a strip club that smells like heaven.
Yes.
Like you walk in and you smell
meat.
I'm kind of conflicted here.
With steak tips and filet mignons and any kind of cut.
It smells like glitter, lubricant, and tears.
Right.
You know?
This is a whole new animal.
Replace it with barbecue smells.
Man, so where's this place at?
It's in Portland.
Fantastic.
Right, $10 for a filet mignon.
The dream of the 90s is alive in Portland.
Right. And they have a rule there. It's a no-hassle strip club. So the girls aren't bothering you. They won't bother you at all. In other words, like if you want to,
I'll just leave you alone.
They do their dance on their stage. If you want to go up and sit up at the stage, throw dollar bills, you can. Otherwise, you just go there and eat lunch and leave.
Fantastic.
For $10.
Yeah.
So, of course, we're asking the entire
Where's
night.
Where's the Acropolis?
Right. Or just like, hey, exactly. Take us to the Acropolis, sir. But yeah, it's just a freaking genius
what
idea.
What are your steak recommendations?
But every once in a while you get these.
The nuns are like, oh, the meals there are lovely.
We had one just female Uber down. Driver and she was just like, ah, that's just one of those places where you look at boobs. I'm like, but we hear there's
good
steaks
there. Why do you
think we
got in this car?
Yeah, exactly. You have to look at us boobs. We're going somewhere to look at boobs.
We're old enough that the hashtag still means pound to us.
But my favorite moment of the night, so we're at some bar, and we're wasted, blacked out almost. You know, not to that point. I can remember this, so I guess not blacked out, but we're just wasted. I'm at post up at the bar. We're BSing with the bartender. Super nice lady, right? as talking and talking. And then finally I go, so where from New York are you from? And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, your accent. It's cool. And I'm a New Yorker too. She's like,
I'm from Australia.
I'm German.
It's like, what?
She's like, I have a German accent.
What, the German part of Brooklyn?
Yeah. And I'm like, and I look and I go, I'm not sober.
You know, the kudos on just owning.
Catch-all.
Kudos on owning and not being like, what? Really? Oh, yeah. Steve's like, look.
You know, he didn't have the wherewithal at that
I'm
point.
I'm seeing four of you and the third one over is kind of cute.
Right, exactly. I had no idea. I thought you were a boy.
Wow.
Time, let's talk a little bit about Studio Time with the Glenn Cannon solo record. I've been watching your stuff on Facebook.
Yeah, well, despite... Go ahead.
Donald Duck! Donald Duck,
right? No, despite the weather, we've been in there every day and things are really going well, man.
The pictures and the videos are looking pretty badass, man.
Yeah, you know, as things come into shape, people actually get to hear some music. I've just been trying to share, right? I want people to feel as involved.
And you're at a Vast Studios.
I'm at a Vast over in Greenwood. And
the studio looks cool. I don't know if I've ever been there.
It used to be called Ironwood. And then
that's also what happens when you go to Acropolis,
right? Yeah, yes. You know, yeah. Or when what was it,
like
Nurse Black?
Yes,
drugs you and. Anyway, what was I talking about?
Studio Time. Studio
oh,
time.
Right. I'm yep. making a record. Yep. So, no, yeah, it used to be called Ironwood back in the day, and Avast was this great studio over on Stoneway. And Stuart, the owner, eventually bought Ironwood and just moved everything that was in his Stoneway location over there. And
I've been to the one in Stoneway.
Yeah, a tiny little place, but killer.
Yeah, I believe I recorded there with Leslie Wood a long time ago.
Yeah, nice. Man, actually, a lot of really amazing stuff came out of that little room. He used to be able to, he had a lot of his 2-inch stored on site, and you could just read the side of those boxes. And it was all like pretty much Alice in Chains and Soundgarden. Alice, 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 Soundgarden, 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 Alice, Alice. I remember being in there. Would have been 99-ish and just being like, oh my God, man. You know?
Yeah.
A lot of really cool, just the tapes. I don't know how much of that stuff was done there or quickly done there, but, and Stewart actually, I think he TM'd and did front of house for Soundgarden for a long time and was in and out. It's interesting working with Brett and Stewart and our engineer, Sam. They've all been in and around those camps like their whole lives. So if you sit back over a slice of pizza and suddenly it's, you know, like, Alice in Chains tour stories.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, nice. You know, it's been really fun in that regard, just working with those guys, because you hear all these great stories about, you know, these bands that you love. And but no, the facility's magnificent. And, you know, I got the material together. We got together a couple, 2-3 times, ran the stuff, and then we got together a couple, 2-3 times with Brett to just so he could hip us to trouble spots, watch out for this change, make sure you're sticking that. You know, let's look carefully at, you know, Glenn, you're really rushing in this verse, sit back behind Louis, all that kind of great stuff that Brett brings to the table.
I was drunk. I thought you were German that whole time, not Russian. Hey-o!
Actually, I'm from Australia. But yeah, so we had a few of those, and then bang, we went in and pulled the trigger, and it's just been going so great, so hassle-free, no stress. It was as fun as it was making the Brody record.
That's cool, man.
Just this great environment, super relaxed, everyone's having a ball, and then you know, Louie and Jeff, like, Brett's just getting to know these guys, and they're both just animal musicians. And so, you know, Brett will just look at me over his glasses and be like, Jesus, dude. I'm like, yeah, I know, right? So that's been really cool as I just sit quietly with my mouth shut and listen to these guys do what they do.
Sorry. Hit pause. Stop! Son of a bitch. There we go. Sorry. I was trying to get something ready for that relates to what you're talking about.
I was getting ready to say, like, I'm doing that with my thoughts, but it was so loud I didn't think anyone would hear me.
My bad.
But, so the past couple days, I mean, a lot of this stuff was built in rehearsal, and Lance was very much like, man, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to add that and layer this. Lance McKay is the guy doing all the keys and stuff on the project, and he got into yesterday bringing all his stuff to life, and we've been able to borrow some really cool stuff via the Pearl Jam guys, like a digital Mellotron, and we're picking up a Nord Stage 88. We've got a Hammond B3 there with a Leslie cab.
I heard you also borrowed Eddie Vedder, and he just had him locked up in a trunk.
It was honestly a funny story, because regarding the digital Mellotron, they have one at Pearl Jam HQ, but they're like, Ed is actually using that, and he's doing some demo stuff. But Stone owns one, and it's over at Studio Litho if you want to swing by and pick it up.
Oh,
so it's funny that you joke about Ed.
Because
it's like, man, any other time, we'd be happy to loan it to you.
You tell Ed.
Yeah, you know, oh, dude, so I'm reading this email, and I sent it to Lance, and he's like, man, this is cool. And I'm like, yeah, Brett's really taking care of us. And George Webb, Pearl Jam's equipment manager, has just been so sweet. And
wow.
But really just, oh my God, we're so excited that you're doing this. How can we help? So it's been overwhelmingly cool. Floyd Reitzma over at Studio Litho was mid-session. He had actually spent the night at the studio. He met me first thing in the morning.
Uh-huh.
You know, big hugs and handshakes. Floyd and I go back almost 20 years. Really talented guy. And just a lot of enthusiasm and what can we do to help?
Mm-hmm.
So that's been really cool. So we have Lance just decked out.
I saw some of the pictures, yeah.
Oh, it's silly, man. And there's this beautiful baby grand there. And Lance, he was like, so I've got these ideas. And Brett's like, well, we'll just run a pass and just hearing Lance throw this baby grand at these songs. It's like, oh, my God.
They'd
develop a bit of an idea. And then, bam, we get that going. And then, you know, we got into some Wurlitzer stuff. If that's the electric piano, think of Queen's "Ooh, You Make Me Live." You make me live. It's that sound. But
is that also what Stevie Wonder used for "Higher Ground"?
Probably that
kind of that wow,
squishy.
Yeah.
Really, I think of that Queen song. It's like definitive. But one of the songs Lance is throwing that in is a song that's very slippery in an Alice in Chains way, but has this great Beatlesque chorus, and he's ping ponging between, you know, Wurlitzer electric piano to baby grand to, and his Lance is building up these layers. I mean, me, Brett, and Sam are in the control room just listening to what is happening with this music.
Yeah.
And I would just start laughing. I would just start laughing like, Jesus Christ, I can't believe.
Like my name's attached to this cool stuff.
Yeah, no, man, I had hoped to set out and make the kind of record I've been wanting to make for a long time. It's gone so far past that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just sitting here in awe of what's happening. And I haven't even started playing guitar or singing yet. You know, my scratch tracks are there, so there's enough of the songs to hear. But as Lance is building this stuff and adding, I mean, there's so much dimension and texture. And
How many songs is it going to be?
12.
Nice.
Wow, nice.
And yeah, man, I've been trying to explain to people, like, it's Zeppelin, it's Hendrix, it's Robin Trower, it's Pink Floyd, it's Lenny Kravitz, but it's... Now we've got elements of early 70s Tom Petty. We've got Queen elements. We've got Muse, a hint of Muse. You think about stuff like the Black Keys and Royal Blood. And it's all of those things squished into what is happening. And, man, like, I'm just overwhelmingly, like, excited. And I, you know, someone had hit me up the other day, like, dude, for all the hype, this better be good. And it was a friendly comment.
Yeah, no, I saw the post. It was
Brandon's awesome. I love
it. Yeah, it was definitely on a playful sense.
Oh, yeah, it was totally cool. But yeah. I
told him I'm going to kill you.
I went on to explain. I was like, look, man, maybe some of the fans that are the people that are big fans of the mega heavy rock that Windowpane plays might not get this.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're fans of, and I just started listing bands, like even into Curtis Mayfield and James Brown, I'm like, if you like anything like that, you're going to love this. And that's the thing, too, is Louis, every single song, because that was one of my mission statements.
He's the drummer.
Well, yeah, Louis Williams is my drummer.
We're Facebook friends now.
Yeah.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, see, there you go.
So I like him now.
Social media ing.
At first, I was like, oh, who is this guy? And why is he with my Glenn?
So much.
My Glenn.
Right. But I started joking about, like.
He's a beast on the drums.
Oh, he's killer.
Yeah.
So much rock. And I made the joke. I'm like, it's like rock lost the role. Like, it's driving and it's huge. But as far as being able to bob your head to it or tap your foot to it or some girl dancing to it, that doesn't really happen anymore. And it's something, that groove was something I was really starting to miss, even in the music we were making. As good as it was, I'm like, man, you know, ain't no chick swinging her hips to this.
Mm-hmm.
Not that, you know.
Maybe at Acropolis.
Yeah, right? You know? But, but every song, even the slower songs, groove, like bounce and groove and swing. And man, Louis just nailed that. So yeah, there's me filibustering about what I'm doing.
No, but man, I'm pumped. I'm pumped to hear it.
I was excited to begin with. Now I'm literally just, you know, I'll look at Brett at the end of the day and be like, dude, we're really doing something special. And he's like, I know. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, holy S, this has taken a whole nother, I didn't expect it to become this. And it really has. So super excited, man.
Yeah.
You know, of course, Brett's trapped in his area today. I was on the phone with him when I showed up here, but I'm leaving here and heading over there. And Lance has been staying in town. Jeff and Louie got their stuff done and they've been back at home. I think Jeff might come by a little later this week and replace, because he cut all the bass live, kind of like we did with Jeff Rouse with the Brody record. But there's some stuff he wanted some different flavors on, so he might come back later this week once it's clear.
That's cool. Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And do some more bass stuff. But man, I can't wait for people to hear it.
I'm excited to hear it.
It's just holy God.
It's funny because you brought up Avast. That's where I found that weird sound that I heard. Because one time, I believe it was at Avast that we recorded. I recorded with Leslie Wood, who is very talented. She's a Misled. I think now they're a band called Skates.
Oh.
And super dancey rock kind of a band.
But yeah.
Leslie was just always a good friend from back in the day. And she was doing something for a Police tribute record that she got tapped to be a part of. And so she hit me up because at the time I was filling in on drums because she was in between drummers. And she's like, would you mind coming into the studio and doing a version of King of Pain?
Yeah.
And it's one of my favorite things I've ever recorded.
Nice.
And I believe it was, and I found it. It took me a minute, but I found it. And it's on a record called Many Miles Away. And the song's King of Pain, of course. But it's just kind of cool vibe to it, I thought.
I like the slower pace right away. Yeah. That's cool. There's a little black spot in the sun. Sold.
Right.
It's great.
Absolutely. And I'm very proud because I had a huge hand in the composition of this, of doing it this way, which was kind of fun. As
one with headphones on is really digging this.
Yeah, yeah, that's what
I'm
saying.
We got to the end, I'm like, ooh, ear candy.
I forgot all about this.
Yeah, the ending, I was like, ooh. Yeah, I mean, all that was rad. We got to the end, I'm like, I'm so glad I'm wearing headphones right now. Cool, man. When was that?
Oh, man.
This 20 years ago, yeah?
Or maybe sometime in the 2000s, early.
No.
Yeah. I've stood here before inside the pouring rain. The world's turning circles, running around my brain. It's always over, it's your endless rain. It's my destiny to be the king of pain.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. A lot of pot was smoked when constructing this song.
Yeah, this ending reminds me of some of the stuff off of Failure Fantastic Planet record.
Okay.
Which is one of my favorite records.
Yeah.
So that's a big K. I'm complimenting you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, just big and fuzzy and lost.
Yeah.
It's great. I'm just dropping that bomb just now. I caught myself. I could feel Rev's eyes.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love you, man.
Yeah, just like a wall of fuzzy guitars.
Yeah. When's the last time you listened to Fantastic Planet?
My gosh.
Dude, it has not lost any of its luster.
Yeah?
Oh, God.
I'll have to go back.
Put it on at some point. Heliotropic, The Nurse Who Loved Me. Even Stuck on You, the single. But
yeah,
that record is so good.
I'm going to go back right today and listen to that.
Dude, it is so good. And then they went on to do a project. The brothers went on to do a project called Year of the Rabbit.
Yeah, I remember that.
Which was basically just Failure again, in my opinion. But
100%.
Such good stuff.
That was a good record.
Yeah, I remember hearing Stuck on You on the radio. I was living in Florida. That would have been 96, 97. And being like, what is this?
Yes.
And I went and bought Fantastic Planet. And I'm to this day, you put it on and you're like,
yeah,
God, this is good.
What I love about this also at the end, it's kind of almost gives me that vibe of Nothing You Need on our record. We go full on Faith No More ending, which is piano.
Yeah.
Like everything's fading out.
That's cool.
It's Leslie could play the piano, like, incredible piano player.
Oh, it's like a semi out of tune upright, too.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's vibey as hell.
And I'm not even positive we recorded out of Ask, but I think we did. I can't remember. It's been so long ago. But
Regardless, thank you for sharing.
But I believe it was on Stoneway.
Yeah, so, that would have been a vast.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
A little place right off of Stoneway.
Yeah.
Smaller, the live room was pretty small.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing that made that place dope is Stuart, his outboard gear, all the stuff he had was killer.
Yeah.
And a lot of what sustained him over the years was some of the best studios in town would say, oh, we need blank, and they would just call Stu. So they would rent stuff from him because he had all the sexy stuff.
Was he the Stu in John and Stu's? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay, I'm not positive.
I've known him for so long, just as Stuart. I honestly don't
know his last name. John Goodmanson, you know, he had that one studio.
It may have been.
And it used to be John and Stu's.
Depending on the era, I don't, because Avast was around late 90s. That's when Epic was paying for all of our recordings. And so we were bouncing into whatever studio was available, because they'd say, give us more, and we'd have to find a studio and crank stuff out and hand them.
Stu Hollerman?
Yes, that's him, dude.
Yeah, then it is. Yeah, John and Stu's place.
That makes sense.
Yeah, just Googled it.
When Peter Parker recorded at John's place. Oh, John and Stu's, which became the Hall of Justice.
Six Degrees of Kevin Bacon.
How funny. Yeah, John was an incredible. I can only imagine it. The two of them together must have been like the Wonder Twins.
Super talented. Yeah. Super talented guys.
Wow.
Yeah.
Small world. And dude,
it is a small world.
You bring up the whole, like, back in the day of Epic, screw, you know, all the crap that you guys went through.
Yeah.
Did you get a big smile on your face? I remember you knew the Fighting Machinists. Hell, I remember seeing the first time I ever saw Windowpane was when the Fighting Machinists.
We used to gig with the Machinists.
You guys played it in the U District, and that's where I first saw you guys.
I remember doing a gig with them at a place called Rupert's, where they had a bookshelf that folded down.
That was
and became
the place.
A stage. Yeah,
that was the place where I first saw Windowpane. Yeah.
Wait! They had a Murphy stage.
Yeah, it's a Murphy stage.
It was a Murphy stage.
100%.
The place 100%. Was like it was like a coffee shop slash bar slash bookstore.
You go in the back.
You go in the back, and the stage with the bookshelf would fold down.
It's just here you go.
I went to go see the Fighting Machinists because I just got to know those guys, became friends with them, and they're like, "Hey, we're playing at Rupert's." Mm-hmm. I forgot the name of it.
Yep.
And they were playing
playing with you guys, and that was the first time I saw window pane. And I was like, these guys are badass.
Yeah,
you were,
yeah.
You won me over because you were just like losing your mind up on stage, just shredding. Shredding.
Oh, thanks, man.
That was back when it was a three piece. It was you, Mark, and Mike.
That would have been Hector me, Mark, and Mike Hector and Camp.
Yep.
That was the beginning of the, you know, we fought our way through the trenches forever. Once we got Mike, that's when we started to kind of climb into being kind of a known band and doing
100%.
Well.
And you guys,
that was the beginning of that chapter.
The Fighting Machinists were also going through the record major label drama. They were signed, I think, to Epic, if I remember correctly.
It might have been Interscope.
Oh, you're right. You're right. It was Interscope.
As I understand it, they cut like 100 plus songs for those guys.
I've heard most of them.
And they're probably killer.
They were.
And the label still couldn't figure out what they wanted to release or not release. I mean, it was the beginning of a very, you know, turbulent time in the industry.
This was back
and
when
most of that
record labels would sign any band that had a buzz because they were afraid another record label sign them.
Yeah.
And sometimes they would never see the light. Similar to TV shows have done that. In the world of wrestling, that kind of happens right now because there's so many cool indie
Epic's
places.
Epic's thing with us, when they eventually said, look, you know, because we were so cross-genred, right?
Yeah.
We had a little bit of everything going on, which I thought was a good thing at the time, but and here I am right back to that. But F you, I'll make the record I want to make.
That's
but
right. Fingers in the air.
I do what
but,
I want.
You know, you only live once. It was one of those things where they said, you know, look, we're going to go ahead and pass. Feel free to shop the material to anyone you want. You can release the material, even though they paid for it. You go ahead and put the record out. Do what you want. The only stipulation is if anyone else decides to sign you, you have to come to us and let us know so we can have first refusal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically, we don't think we want you unless anyone else wants you.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Like, man,
it's like
some really?
It's like a hot chick being like, you, but only if another hot chick wants to date you.
The late 90s and the early 2000s, you guys probably know Artemis Records.
Yeah.
And it was one of those ones where it was, if I saw a band on them I really liked, I knew they were only going to get one album because they would scoop them up and they would push out an album because they'd think they'd be the new hot thing.
And they would do nothing
with them, and then they would just dump them.
Yep.
And I was just like, oh, awesome. This band is great. Oh, they're on Artemis. Well, I'll get this album, and then I'll never hear
them
again.
A lot of major labels would do that too. They'd chew up bands and spit them out. They'd like that band. I remember seeing that band Raw, and they were really cool, actually. And they had gotten signed to a big deal. And then right after they got signed, their A&R guy and the guy in charge of that division of their label were let go. And another guy was brought in. And that particular guy didn't really believe in the band. And so they went from having a team behind him that was really excited about him, and we're going to push this band, to a guy that was like, I don't know about this. And they threw him out on tour and left him out there for over a year. Just on tour with no promotion, no single on the radio, nothing. And I think they were, you know, when I talked to the guy, it's like, yeah, it's messed up, man. We're getting no support from the label. We're not getting a radio push. We're just touring endlessly. No one knows who we are. We're in hundreds of thousands of dollars.
And then you get burnt out.
Yeah, it probably destroyed the band. They came home broke and got dropped. But, yeah, you know, it's one of those things that happened with deregulation. I try and tell people all the time, like, some really interesting things happened, that perfect storm, right around the late 90s, early 2000s. One was deregulation. With deregulation, all the big labels bought up all the little labels and took out the widespread, you know, your access to music. It all became through these big ones. And then Intercom and Clear Channel bought up most of your radio stations.
And the mom and pops were gone.
And that changed the way DJs could operate and what they could freely play or not play.
100%.
And at the same time, this little thing called the internet came along.
The Napster.
Changed the way people access music.
Yeah.
So the music industry fell in on itself so hard and so fast.
And it still hasn't fully figured it out, but they're starting to understand. They're starting to embrace the streaming, which is almost like in a weird way, like the Napster world was a precursor to what it is now. Yeah. But at one point, they were kicking and screaming and fighting that whole concept, and now you have to embrace it.
But dude, the levee had broken.
Yeah,
you know, the valley was flooded. Don't freak out now. Build a boat. You know what I mean? But that's why a lot of people are like, I can't believe you guys aren't signed. I can't believe you guys are on the radio. And it's people just don't understand what happened to that business model. Deregulation and the internet happened at the same time, and it took it out. It was
a
perfect storm.
Punch.
Oh, dude, Clooney and Wahlberg were on the deck of the SS record label going, and they went right to the bottom of the Atlantic, man.
But, and I bring up the Machinists because if you were watching the Grammys, Phil and Tim Hanseroff, which were the two twin, the Fighting Machinists were an amazing band. They were the two twin brothers. It was a more edgy sounding Third Eye Blind. I think it would be the best. Yeah. It was almost like Foo Fighters-esque.
Foo Fighters.
Sure. Super catchy pop rock. Great hooks, Great melodies.
Great musicianship.
Great musicianship.
Nice people.
The whole band, all of them were phenomenal, and they could sing like none other. And they were, it was great, but of course they got screwed by the record label in the sense that they kept putting and writing and recording. They spent so much time at London Bridge Studios. I remember that was like their home. And I've heard some of the recordings and they were next level.
Killer.
Huge sounding, great songs, ready for the radio, but the label never fully believed in it and never gave them an opportunity. So of course that eventually falls apart. The band breaks up. Oddly enough, Phil and Tim and Peter Parker broke up. We started a band together, which not many people know because we never played a show. We started a band. We wrote a few songs, and then they started playing with Brandi Carlile. And so their time was getting really busy with that. They even said, hey, man, do you want to see about maybe playing with us with her? And I'm like, nah, that's fine. Which now looking back. Yeah, right.
She's winning Grammys. Thank God. I think that's great.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Good for her. I mean, thank God. Because you listen to some of the other stuff. That's up for like new artists and best new artists. And I'm sorry, it's awful. It's a sequenced, auto-tuned. I'm not trying to be that old guy or whatever. It's terrible.
Yeah.
You listen to that and put it up against a goddamn Elton John song.
Yeah.
Or even Willie Nelson, who can't sing. I don't care. But dude, what? I'm not trying to be old guy, but oh my God. If that's your best new artist, everyone open up a blood vessel. It's over.
So here I am watching the Grammys.
So congratulations, Brandi Carlile. Thanks for saving us.
So it's funny because we had this band. We called ourselves the School of Second Chances. It was kind of like a play on the fact that their band broke up. My band broke up. We stole the line from a television show called Boston Public.
Oh, yeah.
It's a TV show. Terrible show.
But TV show.
Yeah, it was about a high school. And basically all these like rejects went to that school, teachers included.
It was Stand By Me for TV.
And they called it the School of Second Chances. Yeah. So I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. So that was our band name. We had a few songs written. We recorded a couple songs like in their little studio and all that kind of stuff. But then it never went anywhere because things got busy with Brandi Carlile, which I remember thinking, you're picking the wrong ship to sail on. Not kidding. I'm kidding. I was super happy for them.
She's mega talented.
And man, so when I saw them on television performing with Brandi Carlile, and I know there's been some great stuff for Brandi over the years, but that was the first time that I could fully see that moment on national TV.
I'm sure you lit up, bro.
Right? I got misty-eyed. Like, sure. I started watering. Like, tears came down my eyes because I knew what these guys have been through. No different than, like, how you've been through that rigmarole. A lot of bands have. So to see these guys who have been completely kicked over and over and over by the
world
industry
and handed nothing. Yeah.
And then latch on and do something with Brandi. And honestly, Brandi wouldn't be where she's at without them, no different than without her.
She would say the same. Yeah.
And I know she would because her biggest hit, oddly enough, and I have to find the recording, was a song that we were working on as our band.
See?
Yeah. Which is called The Story.
Really?
Which I'll find it. Like,
interesting.
And for the longest time, people thought it was a Brandi Carlile song. Like, she wrote, like, I can't believe she wrote that. I'm like, no, I believe Tim. Or Phil, I can't remember, man.
I just want to correct myself quickly because this kind of stuff eats at me, but not Stand By Me. I think I meant Lean On Me. Lean On Me was the Morgan Freeman film.
I was like, oh, what? They found a dead body at Boston Public?
Yeah, no. Boston Public was a major TV version of the movie Lean On Me with Morgan Freeman, which was an excellent movie.
All right.
I just wanted to correct myself because I'm a movie freak. And I was sitting over here like, I don't want to interrupt, but this is making me feel insane.
So this song, I don't know if you might not have ever heard of it, but I'll pull it ahead. This became her biggest hit because it was on Grey's Anatomy and kind of put her on the map.
I climbed across the mountain tops, swam all across the ocean blue, across all the land and out of local rules. And baby, I broke them all for you. Oh, because even when I was flat broke, you made me feel like a million bucks. You do.
This was written by Phil Hanseroff. And I remember being in a practice space. He's like, hey, I've got this song. And it was recorded, and he's singing it almost like a joking country song. Like, you can hear him laughing. I have it in there. I should maybe run in while you guys talk amongst yourselves. I'll grab it. Because I did not know anything about Brandi Carlile. One day I hear about her. I'm like, oh, it's from Washington. I'm like,
she's
singing
that song.
I forgot that they went and did stuff with her. And I watched the video on VH1. And I'm listening. I'm like, why does this song sound familiar?
So familiar?
I was like, holy crap, like I recorded drums. Like this was a song that we were going to include in our set when we finally would play a live show. It wasn't my song. Like there's no like,
but it doesn't mean you didn't have a part in it, man. I get what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
this was a song for us that when we didn't, at some point Brandy must have been like, do you have any songs that you think would work for me?
What do you think of this?
Yeah. Hey, check this out. And it became a monster hit.
Yeah.
Which is so weird.
You never know, right?
Right. Yeah. So I'll find it for next week or at some point. Nice. And we'll play it. But I thought that was kind of cool to like have this weird connection of yet again another missed opportunity for me in my life of coolness. And I'm like, that is so awesome. That like what was almost a joke, not joke, but a jokingly vibed country song
became that.
Became a monster hit by her, and then it got covered by other people, and it's like the song that put her on the map. And so when I saw them up on stage doing a song that is called The Joke, and honestly, if you haven't heard it, it's like,
it killer. Was crazy.
Yeah. I Goosebump City, and just to see these, like, these
well,
guys.
I was glad to see her, you know. Yeah, it's just good to see her doing well.
Yeah.
Compared to what else is out there currently.
And I remember seeing her at the, like, playing in small rooms. Went back to see those guys because I would always show to support them.
She even busk her a bit back in the day.
Yeah.
She would do anything. She would
She'd
go out and
anywhere.
Busk her. Yeah.
And I remember her covering, like, Radiohead's Creep in her set. And, you know, saw them a bunch of times because I would always go to support the twins. And to see them on that level.
That's awesome.
And I know she gives them so much love. It's not like...
Oh, yeah. No. No. I heard it was... recent heard a Stern interview at night. A lot of times when I'm driving, I'll flip over and listen to replays of the Stern show.
Yeah.
It was a fantastic. She was there with the twins, and I'm like, oh man,
so awesome.
You know, and yeah, it's tons of love. Very, it's a family affair. I think they all live within a couple miles of each other at this point.
I'm not surprised.
On kind of this ranch property.
Yeah.
But it's literally a family affair, and yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
You just hear the vibe of it all, and I'm like, oh man.
I'm just so happy for those.
You know,
dudes.
I remember jamming down the hall from them at Hush. Like, hey, dude, where you playing this weekend? Well, we'll come up and drink a beer.
Yeah.
You know, and then talking to them about like, yeah, man, we just keep tracking stuff and they just keep throwing it on the shelf. We don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
And we were just getting into we're doing a development thing with Epic, man, and it's been like that too. And they're like, what? You give them music, they say we like it, give us more. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
We did that for a year.
Yeah.
You know, we love it, give us more. Well, tell me, I got to a point where it's like, tell me what you want and I'll write it. You know, just tell me what you want and I'll write it for you, man. I'm not trying to sound cocky. Just tell me what you
help
want.
Help me. So I can
we
stop
want
sending
something
you stuff.
That's reminiscent of this. Great. I'll go make that for you now so we can start moving forward. And you never got that feedback.
Yeah.
You know?
I have so many burnt CDs of Fighting Machinist stuff that they would give me. And like, you know, it was just one
it
of
It was
those
over
things.
100 songs that they did.
It
dude, was well
it was
over
ridiculous.
100. Yeah.
So long story short with that, I was just so happy to see
awesome.
Those guys winning a Grammy on television and being considered the moment that stole the show, where like pop stars and rap stars and other types of stars are all standing up, giving them a standing ovation.
Because that's real.
Like,
I'm sorry, man, but
it's
because
real
that's
stuff.
Real music.
It is.
That's real music. It's not some really, and I'm not trying to sound like an a-hole, but some really pretty, very talented girl dancing around to a play track with a headset mic on and an auto-tuned voice. And I'm not trying to slam this individual as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that, what you just played, is real people, real performances. It's not 10 producers that got together to write a hit.
It's pretty raw sounding
it
when
is,
you think about
it's
it.
It's people making music the way music used to be made. And that's the stuff that's timeless. A lot of the stuff that's being championed and popularized these days, not all, but a lot of it, is not going to last because it is like a Bubblicious commercial.
Yep.
It's like that. It's on level with that. It's like a goddamn used car commercial and you love it and you buy the car and the car breaks down and you buy another one. It's not going to... People are still going to be jamming Bob Dylan records 100 years from now.
You feel the emotion.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're not going to be playing some of this other
stuff.
Dude,
I'll say this with complete this song alone, like if you really pay attention to the lyrics, and I think it might be something about maybe her back in her day, maybe inspired for when she, you know, first maybe came out and had to let people know that she was gay and just how people would be rude or wrong and terrible. And I'd imagine that had something to do with maybe the lyrical inspiration. But really, it's for anyone that's been viewed differently by others and maybe made fun of it for that.
Mm-hmm.
The whole point of the song is, yeah, people are going to try and kick you down, but at the end of the day, the joke's on them.
Yeah.
And I truly do believe that this song will probably change some people's perspective and maybe even save some lives. Just like the vibe of it, like when you hear it, just the power of her voice and the lyrics.
It's your brother's world for a while longer. You gotta dance with the devil on a river to beat the stream. Call it living the dream. Call it kicking the ladder.
stuff, man.
Yeah,
it's really good stuff. Even saw Kathy Moore, who plays with Jeff Rouse.
Yeah.
And a lot of his projects. Incredible guitarist.
Oh, keyboard player, singer. Yeah, yeah. Kathy's remarkable.
Does
talented.
It all. Yeah. And I even saw she posts on Facebook, so I'm like, I've listened to the joke 20 times today.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, I'm not the only one. Because I've listened to this song on repeat since the Grammys. So freaking good. Her voice is so perfect on the damn song. It's great. So congrats to Brandi Carlile.
Yeah,
making Ravensdale, Washington proud.
Yeah. Save us.
Yes, please.
Save us.
Give us hope for music.
Yeah.
It was great. Why don't we do some voicemails, emails, and text messages before we wrap things up?
Brandi to Ziggy, it's a bit of a transition.
It's perfection.
That said, I love this.
Right?
I wonder how the hands is doing.
I think the hands is doing okay. You know what? You guys talk amongst yourselves. I'll go grab that story thing so you can hear it real quick.
Talk amongst yourselves.
I'll be right back, and then we'll do
all that. Do you think Ziggy named his child Cahans?
You know what? At the very least, it has to be a nickname, and no one's going to get it. And it's going to be one of those nicknames where it's going to be like, it's like, why do you call him Cahan? And it's going to be... Ziggy's going to have to come to a point where it's like, do I try to explain this, or is it just a thing?
Do you think Ziggy and his wife had a big fight over, I want to name the child Gahans.
Go what?
Gahans. Not because of that stupid show. It's not stupid. Those guys are awesome. They're idiots.
They are idiots.
We're not naming our child Gahans. I can't even remember the child's gender. But the cool thing is, Gahans is genderless and timeless, you know?
It's true.
Like, if someone said, these are the dead Gahans scrolls, you'd be like, of course they are. This is the Shroud of Gahans.
Shroud of Gahans. Oh, no, watch out. Hurricane Gahans is coming.
Yeah. Oh, God, wouldn't that be awesome?
It kind of works.
And we could do the song like the Soundgarden parody, Gahans all over.
You're going to have to do a song for Gahans.
Gahans all over?
Oh, my God.
Gahans across America.
Perfect.
Yeah. We just spent the time filling it with Gahans.
That is so awesome.
We almost made it an entire song.
What was the Hootie and the Blowfish? Hold Gahans.
Oh, that works too.
Hold my baby.
Nice.
Hold my Gahans.
So, welcome back,
we missed
Steve.
Gahans all over.
Oh, gosh. That's awesome. So, again, to go back to that little story about Brandi Carlile. This was the song, again, that's like the big hit. So this is the story again.
When Steve worked on it, it was called Gahans.
It was called The Gahans. So that's the song that everybody knows. So now I want to play you the version that was originally done by Phil as a demo that eventually was going to lead to a song that we were working on. Right here. Okay. This is so different. It's kind of funny to
but
hear.
But it's the song.
Yeah.
All of these lines across my face tell you the story of who I am. So many stories of where I've been and how I got to where I am. But these stories don't mean anything when you got no one to tell them to. It's true, I was made for you. I climbed across the mountain tops, I swam all across the ocean. You see the smile. violin song.
But you know they're having fun with that.
You can hear them laugh now.
He grabs the vibrato knob.
Don't come out. All of my friends who think that I'm blessed, well, they don't know my head is a mess. They don't know who I really am. They don't know what I've been through, but you do.
There you go. There's that's nice. The original awesome. Version of that a song so that became sweet. A giant
the,
hit.
The inside moment. Yeah.
Right.
It's great.
Not many people know that. I remember I played it once for someone who was a huge Brandi Carlile fan, and at first she did not believe me.
What, did you
like,
hear?
No, no.
This is it.
She wrote this song. I'm like, no. Yeah, I mean, yes, no. Like, it's her song.
She popularized the song.
If you look it up online, it will song credits to Phil Hanseroff. It's not her. And then, of course, I grabbed that and I found a couple of the songs that were recorded just to give you an idea of what we were doing. This one's kind of fun.
This reminds me of The Machinist. Really.
Yeah.
Yeah. People know.
So good.
The Gentleman album is just. The Gentleman record's the one.
And 1965.
I'll give you that. And actually, you know, the one they just came out with like 4 or 5 years ago.
Very good.
Was really good.
Yeah.
But for me, the Gentleman album was the one where I was like, I need to buy that record. And I bought it. And top to bottom was like, oh my God.
The Gentleman record's one of the greatest records ever.
Yeah, Dolly. Yeah. So much vibe and attitude and just. It's like audio sickness, because that album's basically all about
just
like,
being a dirtbag
junkie, you know. And,
just banging bitches.
And just, God almighty. But you listen to it and you're like, whoa, this is dark honest and maybe a bit much.
Yeah.
Dude.
I want to find one of their songs, because I mean.
That one song, I warn you, if cornered, I claw my way out of this pen.
Yes.
Dude, the lyrics to that song, you're like, whoa.
I was obsessed with that record for the longest time.
God, that record's good.
I mean, there it is.
You can play the opening track on the record that starts with that subway. You can hear the subway clacking away. And then just that super, just play that.
Oh, yeah, this is such a
good song. God, listen to the lyrics. It's so, and the vocal performance is, it's like this guy grabbed you and like, let me tell you a story, man.
One of
He's
the
not
songs,
singing at you.
He warns just, ladies because he has a D for a brain.
Yeah.
And it's like.
I got a D for a brain, and my brain is going to sell my ass to you.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
is that
God.
Be sweet?
Good, dude. Yeah, I think it's Be Sweet.
We'll have to listen to that one, too. We're not even going to do any emails. Just gonna listen to music and be
nerds.
Hey,
listen, maybe we're helping someone out right now. If you haven't heard this, this is amazing.
Awesome.
Give that some juice. I don't want to touch your knob.
When it comes to the Afghan wigs, you could touch my knob.
What should I tell her? She's going to ask if I ignore it, it gets uncomfortable. She'll want to argue about the past. Still, I think she believes me. Every word I say.
inside that you guys love this album the way I do.
I would listen to this album and pretend that I was Greg Dooley and like play along to it and sing along. Like, wow, if I was going to ever be in a band and had an opportunity to perform in front of people,
this
I would want this record from beginning to end to be that performance.
I'm with that. This was one of those.
So good.
This album's one of those lights off, phone off the hook,
yep,
headphones, do not bother me records. You just press play and everyone F's off.
It's a record at least a couple times a year I need to listen to from beginning to end. Because then after this song, you're like, okay, this is the mood that it's going into. And then this is the next song that it kicks into, just the vibe.
Yeah, the way it starts with the drums.
Wow.
So good.
The way you guys just like synced in with
the stereo now.
Yeah.
He just said that he's like, now.
What year did this come out?
Oh man, this came out in 1993.
Damn, all right, yeah.
But this is the song, I believe.
Yeah.
Dude, this song, I'm hoping that we don't have to bleep too much from it, but we might have to.
I got my pen ready.
I think using the D word's fine.
All right.
Whatever.
Ladies, let me tell you about myself. I got a dick for a brain, and my brain is gonna sell my ass to you. I'm okay.
There's an F-bomb coming up.
But in time I find I'm stuck.
Here we go.
Cause she wants love, and I still wanna.
Yeah! Hey, thanks!
Oh. And listen to the way the band comes in. It just falls in on the song.
The guitars.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It just sounds tortured. Listen to this next band. It's just tortured.
So good.
This song would fit in just fine in a Brody set.
I was thinking,
my God,
Leave,
yeah,
lyrically. Song,
it's like Leave.
I'm sensing Travis rocked in these lyrics. Sorry,
right?
Travis.
Yeah. I would love to cover this.
Oh, dude. There's a couple on this record.
Yeah, true. Yeah. We should have started an Afghan Wigs cover band for just this record.
I'm sure I'm not.
Listen to this. It's like an ice.
I got goosebumps right now.
Right? Yeah. The guitars are incredible on this album.
Glenn's over here doing like magic, like movements, like David Blaine stuff as the music is going.
Well, the guitar feedback ends like an ice pick.
Yeah,
and the song feels like an ice pick.
Like, what are you thinking when you're in the studio and you're listening to Greg do these vocals? If I'm in the band, I'm like, my God, what the hell do we have on our hands?
Dude, I want to make people. I'm uncomfortable, and I want people to feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then this thing opens up like a flower right here.
Yeah.
Blossoms.
This is one of those records that if I needed to explain to someone why I love music, I'd just be like, here, listen to this album from beginning to end, and I think you'll understand.
Is that song called Jail? It goes down every night.
This is what jail
would
is like.
Be what jail is really like.
What jail is like.
Yeah. The, oh, God.
This is such a 90s alt rock sounding production,
yeah,
too.
Listen to the words,
it's
man.
Literally my favorite time for music.
I agree.
Oh, it's such a great time.
70s and 90s are the best time ever for music, if you ask me.
Listen to the words and the delivery.
think I'm scared of girls, well maybe, but I'm not afraid of you. You wanna scare me, then you'll cling to me no matter what I do. Tell you a secret we shared a needle once or twice. I loved her, she loved me. We slept together a couple of times. Think I'm proud of this, well maybe, but the shame you never lose. Infatuated with a lunatic and cornered by the muse. And it goes down every night. This must be what jail is really like.
I'm seeing now you made that connection from that School of Second Chances song. It's like those weird breakdowns. It's like that moment right there. Yeah.
The band, just the chorus just falls back on the piano part.
Mm-hmm. It's so
good. Like, it's so, you think about such, so a lot of music's very intentional. And I mean, all that's intentional, but the thing about a lot of that record is it sounds like the music just falls on itself and falls on itself and fall. It's not structured. It's not direct. It's not immediate. It's concise. It is like falling, and they capture it. Like,
it's fun watching you like sing along and geek out to it, because I'm like, now I it's funny, every once in a while we have these moments where I'm like, I totally get why Glenn and I are friends and why we like playing music together, because you have the same out there albums that,
God, that record's like a Bible.
In my opinion, it's like, if you have never heard it, you need to, and if you have, you get it.
Yeah.
Like, I remember Sergeant Hair Club about a year ago says, hey, man, I finally listened to an Afghan Wigs record. It was their newest record.
Oh, it's
and
good.
I was like, he's like, what do you know about Afghan Wigs? I'm like, do you have them?
They're incredible. Yeah.
And I went on and on and on. I go, but first, before you do anything else, you need to listen to Gentlemen. Like, you just need to, and he listened to it. He's like, okay. He's like, I cannot believe I slept on this band.
Dude.
And then, like, the one
amazing.
I think,
but it was so raw. And I think at the time, even Dully, like, intentionally be like, I don't care if my voice is pitchy. This is supposed to feel imperfect.
Right.
If it doesn't sound.
You feel emotions.
It needs to sound tortured. And if it doesn't sound tortured, then F you. I don't care if you like my music or not. And that's why I love Afghan Wigs and love Greg Dully. But at the time, you think 93.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm obviously a huge Pearl Jam fan, but the world is reacting to Pearl Jam, right?
Yes.
And they're reacting
and
to Nirvana.
Mm-hmm.
And so you give them that, and only, you know, the darkest of us or whatever, we're like, have you heard this band?
And right,
like,
and in my eyes, this album was right up there with 10.
Dude, yeah. I'll buy that.
Yeah.
Well, to this day, I listen to that album more than I listen to 10.
I would agree.
Mainly because Versus became my favorite Pearl Jam album. But we could really give
you
that.
And me both.
But
do you have it on vinyl?
I do. I don't have a turntable. I gave my vinyl away.
If you ever do again, I have two copies, because I did not realize I already bought Versus on vinyl.
Well,
I was like, I need to own this on vinyl.
Tawny,
and I bought it again.
My wife has now got this thing.
Albums.
Dude, she's got this thing in her head where it comes summertime. She wants to get a turntable because she wants to start taking motorcycle trips to oddball record stores out in the sticks.
Oh, fun.
Oh, yeah.
And collecting vinyl.
And score and see what you can find. Yeah.
So my bride brings that up, and you talk about, like,
yes, please.
God, did I marry the right woman?
Yeah.
Is she really this cool?
Are you messing with me?
Or is this a government plan to get me killed? What is going on here?
You're going to Roswell.
There's no way she's that rad.
This was another song that,
love
like,
you, honey.
That it's just like, it just punches you, like, with just the energy. And it was, I think it was their single along with Gentlemen.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
That bass line. That bass line.
Well, listen to the way the guitar comes in. It comes in like a ghost into the room. Listen to the way this guitar line comes in. It's amazing.
That dirty bass right there, too. Just enough
right here.
Distortion.
So good. And again, listen to the lyrics and the delivery.
Hear me now, and don't forget, I'm not the man my actions would suggest. A little boy, I'm tied to you, I fell apart, that's what I always do.
And then listen to this.
This ain't about regret. You
Like, if he ever had to go to a therapist, he could just be like, tell us what's going on in your world.
Play this record.
I feel like this today.
Right.
Here, let's listen to this record, take some notes, and I think we're good.
When I, you know, you hear this band, and it's so rough around the edges, and just... And I remember this video, I think it was like this weird residential neighborhood with like parties and stuff happening in houses in the background. But Greg Dulli's walking down the street in like this $3,000 suit with a cane, just spitting these lyrics at the camera. And I'm watching that going, this is all things cool.
Awesome.
And thanks for this, man. I'm going to get in the studio today on fire.
Yeah,
like,
this is
so amped up right now. I'm bouncing around in my seat.
Like, I want to write a song right now.
God, my biggest regret is that album's not in my vehicle currently, because I'll leave here. It'll be like being taken off the needle. how do we get on Afghan Wigs?
That School of Second Chances song that I was playing.
This
song. From that. Here's another one. I found all three of our...
Yeah, Dulli did some stuff on the first Foo Fighters record with Dave Grohl. A lot of people don't know that.
Him and Chris Novoselic, the only two guys that were on that that weren't Dave Grohl.
Yep, and also, if you remember the song Backbeat, or the not song, but the movie...
With Dave Grohl on drums.
It was... But it was the story of... What was his name? Stuart somebody. He was the original bass player in the Beatles, but he fell in love with that chick, and he quit the band. And Stephen Dorff played him, and it was a phenomenal movie. But they needed a rough and tumble, raw Beatles band. And yeah, they got Dave Grohl, and Greg Dulli was all the John Lennon stuff.
Yep.
And they played all these Beatles songs, but it was supposed to be them in the early club years, like in Hamburg and stuff.
Okay, yeah.
And it's Beatles, but super raw.
The soundtrack
and it's killer.
Awesome.
It is so good, man. And
I love watching YouTube nerd out.
Oh, like, that's so amazing, dude.
Hey, buddy.
We were like, honestly,
love you over there, man. You're too far away to hug.
We were living parallel lives.
I'm telling you,
of obsession over some weird, unique rock songs,
dude.
Well, that's like, it's fun to have a friend that you can do that with. I had a friend in the early
2000s. Where were you when I was a teen? I'd be less depressed.
It's nice to have that connect. Like, Lance and I, there's a lot of stuff and I didn't even realize how much. Everything from, like, Massive Attack, the Mezzanine album.
That's a good one.
We started talking about,
everyone's heard Angel, but I love that album.
I'm like, so fired up. I remember More Chiba.
Yeah.
No, come on, man. Female singer, and it's, like, trip-hop.
Massive Attack.
I know what you're talking about.
Portishead.
Yes.
So Lance starts talking about Portishead, and I'm like, really? And he starts playing the stuff on Rhodes. I'm like, oh my God, dude, we're like musical soulmates.
Yeah.
And we're going on this journey. And then we land on the Radiohead OK Computer album.
Uh-huh.
And Lance grabs a guitar and starts playing all the stuff note for note.
Fantastic.
And I'm like, dude, you and I probably should have been making music together 15 years ago. Because it's like what we're going through right now.
We could have had the coolest band ever.
Yeah. Lance and I literally are drinking from the same well. Like, oh, you're kidding. And I don't even know those songs. He's like, oh, dude. And he starts playing, you know, like Subterranean, Homesick Alien perfectly.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, my God. You know, like, yeah. That,
dude, I wanted nothing more than to be in an Afghan Wig style band back in those days. Like, I was like, if I could just play drums and be in a band like that, that would be next level.
Well, it was so raw and so honest and so direct and so unflinching. And you hear Dulli and his voice is pitchy and all.
Yep.
But that's the thing is, it's not like someone singing you a song. It's like someone grabbed you and said, sit down. I need to
sit at this bar and I have a story.
I'm going to confess.
Yeah.
And I'm going to confess now and I'm going to be intense about it. And I hope you can handle that.
Yeah.
And 45 minutes later, you're like, damn, bro, thanks for sharing.
I'll buy the next round. I'll buy the next round.
Yeah. Amazing.
Man, that's awesome.
Okay.
Oh, this was one other one I thought was fun.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm amped.
Deep breath.
I'm super amped, man. I'm so wound up right now.
Bro. I'm going to be listening to the Afghan Wigs today. That's for sure.
Dude, everyone's going to listen to this episode and be like, I hate this band. What are those guys freaking out? Glenn's freaking out like he just discovered fire.
Someone's like, I'm the guy, I'm the girl that Greg Dulli was singing about.
Oh my God.
You bastards.
Can you guys do an Afghan Wigs cover band and call it Afghan Wig? Please. Like, seriously, please. Come on. Come on. Just one album, that album. Just cover do it. It. Just cover it. After hand wigs.
We just got to find any song that has the word hand in it as well and work that
That's
in
what
there.
I'm saying. Hootie the Blowfish, Hold My Cahans.
Yep.
Soundgarden, Cahans all over.
After hands.
The
wig.
Infamous, what was it? Was it Farm Aid or was it AIDS? I can't
Cahans
remember
Across
which,
America.
Cahans Across America.
It's so stupid. It just might work.
Cahans Across America. Oh, right. Man.
Let's check out, we got an email.
Oh, we got one.
TheMixCast@gmail.com.
Our listeners hate us now.
Too bad. We're having fun. This one's from Danny. He says, Migs, how do I get one of those Migs stink shirts? LOL, love you, bro, but that shirt rules. Ha ha, from Danny. Good news. I just set up a Pro Wrestling Tees shop.
Nice.
Because every wrestler.
So you and I can get our Migs shirts now? Right. Do you have one yet?
You can just
I'm ordering, dude.
Pro Wrestling Tees, and that's TEES.com/ I'm Steve Migs, or if you just type Steve Migs in your search file, I have four different shirts up there for sale. So honestly, dude, if you're a listener and you've it's the Migs versus the World of Wrestling logo, and then it's the regular Migs wrestler shirt, and then the one with the verified check mark, and then the one that says Migs stinks. So you have your choice. You can pick your any style of shirt that you want and all that good stuff.
Hit me up privately, Rev. Tell me what size you are, what shirt you want. It's on me, dude.
Oh, nice.
Seriously.
Nice.
Because we're doing this.
Killer.
Yeah.
Just $19.99 for a shirt.
Oh, see, that's done deal. Just tell me the size and the
big
style.
Big man with that big Uber money over there.
Yeah. No, it's not like that. Actually,
snow money.
My bank account's a little sweaty, but, you know,
like that
Michelle hooked on and I up with that the delicious evening at the so you know man I mean it's a t-shirt but to me there's gonna be
that'd be dope.
I gotta throw some stuff your way, Holmes.
Nice,
so
man.
Yeah, I'd love to do that for you, brother.
Plus it'll make me look good that I've sold some shirts. Right now I've only sold one shirt, and that's to myself. Granted, I haven't promoted it, but I was like, I'm gonna have to buy my own shirt.
So tell us all one more time.
Pro Wrestling Tees, TEES.com/ I'm Steve Migs, or just type Steve Migs when you go to Pro Wrestling Tees. You'll find the link, and it's got the four different styles of shirts that I have available. I picked the lowest price point that they let me pick because I was like, I don't want to make people go up paying an arm and a leg, which is $19.99, or you could, it'll show you all the different things. You can have different sizes, different shirt styles, long sleeve, shirt sleeve, tank tops. But that'd be awesome if people could buy some.
I got a feeling you'll see three because when Tawny finds out I'm buying Rev and I one, she wears her Migs Cast tee all the time to this day.
Nice.
Dude, man, it's one of those things like I'm laying in bed and she'll come in out of the bathroom usually, right? So her hair's down and kind of messy, and she's wearing her gray Migs Cast t-shirt.
Nice.
And usually just like some little boy shorts, but the shirt's so big on her that it just
looks like a skirt.
Legs.
Yeah.
And I look at her in the doorway and I'm like, God damn, I love you. It's just,
so badass.
Yeah, thanks for that t-shirt.
Oh, man, that Migs Stinks one, I just pulled it
it's
up.
It's rad.
That looks really cool.
Can you swing that around, Rev?
Well, let's see if this works. The green font. That is so cool.
Stinks is spray painted on there.
Yeah.
These are
graffiti
great,
style.
Man.
How about my bio? Did you see my bio? It's fantastic.
Wrestler, radio dude, podcaster, Steve Migs.
Like, you look at some people's bio pages, like 12 sentences. I was like, whatever.
Steve's like, let me trim the fat off this for you.
It's like, what's your Bruiser Brody bio? I had to send one to the Steel Panther guy.
We are from, what was it? We're from Seattle and we're loud
as F.
They probably loved it.
Right, because I'm thinking, you know, who really wants to know the full story.
When you get to a certain point, like people might be interested, but I love your, I see that Brody bio pop up and I'm like,
on a local level, then I'll put like who are the members of the band and where they're from, because that's interesting to someone who knows the music scene.
Yeah.
But if you're from like California and you don't know us, they're just from
Seattle,
band from Seattle, we're loud as F.
Yeah.
And if you guys are a part of the Migs Cast Facebook page, the group page, I just posted it up there too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So you'll probably have more than one by the end of the day.
Now I'm a professional wrestler. I was excited that they accepted me because you have to have a certain number of followers on your social media.
Verified?
Or you have to drop X amount of money.
Do you need to be verified?
No, you don't. But being verified.
Since you are.
I got accepted like in 20 minutes. I know people have waited like days.
Oh.
They wrote me back in 20 minutes like, yep, you're good. Send us your designs.
Aren't you local celebrity Steve Migs?
I am.
Yes, I am.
Now you know.
Yeah, you guys can gently kiss the area between my exit and my phallus.
And it fits in perfect for my local celebrity
nice,
character
nice.
That I know that it's going to probably upset some local wrestlers that I have a pro wrestling tee shop probably for them. But it falls
just remind
in line.
Them that you're verified, bro.
That's right. That's what happens when you're a verified local celebrity. You get these options.
That's right.
Things get handed to you. Just kidding.
Get handed to you.
They get handed to you.
It's a hand, man.
And don't forget, on the 24th in Everett, your local celebrity will be wrestling at the Normana Lodge once again.
Wrestling!
And that's on a Sunday for Without a Cause Wrestling. That's going to be a fun one because Joey Ryan's going to be there, the king of dong style. Shane Strickland. And so many more. It's going to be a lot of fun. Get your tickets before they sell out. Just go to Without a Cause on Facebook. You can find out where you could get brown paper tickets and all that good crap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get hands. Get my shirt. Make me feel special. That would be awesome.
I'm just over here with that puzzled look on my face because I'm trying to think of more songs with the word hands in the title for Cahans because we could do a whole Cahans album, man.
Right.
You know?
Burden in my hand.
Burden like
oh,
a hand.
Oh, yeah.
The burden yeah, good luck with that. We got an email from Dan. Hola, Migs Cash. Question for Mr. Cannon. I've been trying really hard to get motivated to continue playing guitar and improving. I just don't have the drive that I used to have anymore. Any advice on how I can stay focused and improve? Thanks and stay positive, bitches.
Well, start by, you know, you're going to want to really exercise and break in your cajans. Sorry, man. I was desperate, man. So staying motivated. Here's the thing. When you're first starting out, and I always used to tell people, and I still tell people, but when I used to teach, I'd tell people the human hand is not designed to do what you're going to ask it to do as a guitar player. Piano's laid out in front of you. Your hand does that naturally. It doesn't mean your hand can't do it,
mm-hmm.
but by design, wasn't intended to do make those crazy shapes and with accuracy, and then the strings buzzing because you're muted. It really wasn't designed for that, but it can be used for that. There's a huge porn joke just waiting to happen with that.
Huge but, hands.
You know,
ladies like those big hands.
That exit only portal there can be used for other purposes. It wasn't designed for it. But if you ask actress, anyway. So dude, I get it can be like frustrating, right? Because you watch these guys even on YouTube, like here's three easy chords and you watch them do it and you're like, wait, what? How did that guy do that fast? It's ridiculous. And you sit right there and you try and it's like wearing mittens and trying to work a remote control. It's terrible, right? What I would say is try and find a couple very simple songs that you like that are good songs. Like some of my favorites along those lines would be like Jane Says or Tom Petty's Free Falling. Jane Says, I think it's two chords. Tom Petty's Free Falling is three chords. And learn those songs. And by learning a song, now you're not just practicing this thing or practicing scales.
Yeah.
You're not making music when you're practicing scales. I know a lot of guys that can shred on guitar yet can't play, if that makes sense. Learn songs so that you're engaged, so you're doing something and you're enjoying something. And pick simple songs you can play. When you get into bar chords, when you start learning your bar chords, a great one to learn that's really cool is Alice in Chains' Rooster. Even No Excuses is all bar chords with the open B and E ringing open. So learn, now you're just holding a bar chord shape, which is going to be painful at first, but you're going to hold that shape and you're going to move that shape around and learn to move that shape around with accuracy, playing some of the best songs that were written, but simple songs.
And so, fun that now you're like, hey, I know how to play this song.
Yeah, I'm playing a song. Yeah. Learn Guns N' Roses' Patience. It's a handful of chords, maybe five chords. But do stuff like that so you're not just practicing your G shape and practicing your major scale. That's awful. That's algebra. That's mathematics. You're touching the instrument because you want to make music. So that's my advice is learn a couple songs that you like that are simple. And once you've learned them and can play them, you'll get into a headspace and entertain yourself. Even if you play Jane Says 10, 15, 20 times in a row. I know I used to do that stuff. I would learn a song and sit in my room and play it over and over and over. I still do it to this day.
And Dan, if you have a girlfriend or a wife, she's going to love it if you'd play it over
and over. There's truth in that. But anyway, that's my advice, man, is instead of learning to play the guitar, learn to play music, bro. A lot of musicians make that mistake. A lot of guitarists make that mistake. And that's why you got all these guys that can really shred and they've got amazing technique and they can't play a goddamn 12-bar blues shuffle to save their life because they learned to play guitar and didn't learn how to play music. So learn to play music, dude. Some of the most talented musicians in the world weren't Yngwie Malmsteen. They were guys like Kurt Cobain. He learned some bar chords and some open chord voicings, and he started writing songs. And look at what we got because of that.
That's my example all the time. Yeah. I'm like, I'm a Kurt Cobain, not an Yngwie Malmsteen kind of guy. You know what I mean? He plays with heart, not maybe with talent or not with technicality. He plays with heart.
And there's nothing wrong with admiring a guy like, well, maybe admiring a guy like Yngwie. But if you want a guitarist for the sake of guitarism, Steve Vai's mind-blowing. You listen to it, and you go, how is that guy even doing that?
Satriani.
And that's amazing. That's exciting. That's cool. And that's what, if you listen, Vai and Satch are making music.
Yep.
You know, Eric Johnson is making music. Shredding for the sake of shredding isn't making music. So, yeah, that's, again, circling back to, don't learn to play the guitar, man. Learn to play music. And you'll find you'll be more motivated to pick it up because you're getting pleasure out of it. It's not like sitting down to do algebra homework.
I say, Dan, you have homework. You have to leave us a voicemail of you playing Jane Says.
Yeah, unless you hate that song. But Jane Says is G and A, and if you can move comfortably between those two chords and not come out of pocket, it'll teach you how to count, how to groove, how to sit behind the pocket, how to feel your way through a phrase. You know what I mean? Like, even if you're more advanced, if you're into guitar solos, like one of the things I did in my youth was I sat down with the Dire Straits album, and I picked apart every guitar solo note for note, bend for bend. And I learned to do all that super tasty Mark Knopfler stuff. Hmm. I didn't practice playing scales fast. I didn't sit there and try and learn to go wheelie, 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 wheelie. I learned how to bend the way David Gilmour bended, because he'd grab one note and pull it up and then pull it again. And God damn, he's making music. So, you know, if you're more of a lead guitar player, you know, don't start out with a guy like that's playing a million miles an hour on his older records, like Kirk Hammett or something, for example, or even some of the Slash solos, which are phenomenal, but pretty damn fast and very challenging. Find stuff that teaches you to bend in pitch or bend with soul or move around within a phrase, even a couple B.B. King licks. Or Robin Trower never really played much, but that was part of the beauty of his playing. Learn a couple Trower licks and get good at them and play them in phrase and bend in pitch and bend with smoothness and sass and learn to... It's a language, man. It is a language. You got to learn to speak that language like you would walk up to me and say, hey, man, you want to get a sandwich or not? Because I'm into tacos. And that rolls out of you effortlessly. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But that rolls out of you effortlessly. And that's the way playing your guitar should be. It's a language, and it should come from a place just like your speech does. And if it doesn't, at least to a guy like me, you're doing it wrong. It's supposed to be about opening things up, not going inward, and I will play perfectly, and I will stand on stage and stare at my hand while 100 people stare at me. That blows. Don't be that guy. You know what I mean? So hopefully that helps.
I think so. Okay. I'm ready to play the guitar.
Okay, cool.
That was actually really
throw
cool.
on the Afghan wigs again. I'll get even more wound up, dude. Okay. Actually, that's what all that was. This is Afghan wigs aftermath. I'm so amped right now.
Yeah, you're just like 100 miles an hour. It's kind of great.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
We got a text that says, Migs, you better let Glenn and Rev know that you kissed a dude this weekend. LOL.
He kissed a dude and he liked it.
It smelled like beer and catfish.
Is this a Weezer cover?
I don't know who it is.
Oh, I just assume it was a Weezer cover.
I kissed a boy and I liked it. Did you know that Cherry Chapstick is not actually Cherry Chapstick that they're singing about?
No, is it like Red Rocket?
It's an Urban Dictionary thing, and that's when a certain female body part gets so inflamed and turns reddish.
Oh, so it is kind of like a Red Rocket.
So they call it Cherry Chapstick.
Stimulated nubbin.
Yes. So that's what...
you know what they say in
Katy Perry
Days of Thunder?
About.
Nubbin's racing, Cole. Nubbin's racing.
So yes, this Saturday I did kiss a man, a wrestler, a sweaty wrestler by the name of Ravenous Randy Myers.
Were you drugged by that hot nurse at the time?
And it continued to defy...
Was that her fantasy or yours? Like, let's go ahead and lay this out. Let's talk openly.
She's my good friend and my friend's girlfriend.
My friend now,
too. This is going to be very awkward if they listen to this. I've said nothing. So anyways, on Saturday...
I'm glad. I can't wait to meet you both.
Yep. On Saturday, I did Defy, and Ravenous Randy Myers, he's been on Migs vs. the World of Wrestling, my podcast.
Did
awesome,
you kiss
dude.
Someone that was ravenous?
Yes.
Did you get shots and stuff?
No! I feel good.
No, that's rabidness.
Okay.
Ravenous.
Do you see how I moved my chair away from Steve?
Get over here, Glenn.
Well, no, you're not showing any symptoms yet, but, you know, I've seen 28 days later.
Ooh, well, anyways, he's the weirdo hero, and part of his thing is very flamboyant. He likes to kind of just bend sexuality in a sense, like as his character, Randy Myers. And one of his things when he comes out to Etta James At Last, which is an awesome ring entrance music.
Yeah.
You don't expect it.
No, not at all.
That Liz Tyson from Late September Dogs.
Uh-huh.
Sang that as Tawny and I walked down the aisle.
He walks out to the ring in that.
Interesting. Look at how everything ties up together.
See, it's all you and I, simpatico.
My love has come along. All right, anyway.
So he comes out, and then part of his shtick is he's all about consent is sexy, so he'll ask certain people in the fan base, like, guys, jump up. Like, these bro-looking dudes are like, kiss me. Like, that's kind of his thing. So he goes around and does all that. But at the end of his match, he's talking about it's Valentine's Day. He's got all these Valentine's gifts. He's like, but there's only one person I want to kiss for Valentine's Day. And he turns around and it's you, Migs. And I'm like, I'm not prepared for this. I wasn't expecting this to happen. Like, none of this was talked about ahead of time.
Thanks, dude.
But he's also, I've seen guys turn him down in the, like, as he walks around, and he totally gives them big hugs. Like, he doesn't make anyone feel bad. Like, he definitely is a guy that wants to make sure people know it's cool to do whatever you want. But I'm like, okay, the crowd is now hot. They are like, yeah!
Yeah, right.
If I say no,
you're kind of killing the party.
I'm going to kill the vibe. And also, it's a peck on the lip. I'm not going to care. It's no harm to it. There's nothing sexual about it.
He didn't come at you like the Sarlacc.
No, he didn't grab my ass. Like, right, it's just a fun moment.
Both full cheeks, both hands.
And it's wrestling. Like, there's worse stuff that's done in that ring than a kiss on the lip. So anyway, I have the audio of that moment where...
Oh, fantastic.
Here's the part. So I bring Munson and J-Mac, my two hockey buddies. This is the first time they've ever gone to one of these events.
And
I
bring the last.
No, they loved it. They wanted to become wrestlers by the end of the night. Granted, they were drunk, but they wanted to become wrestlers.
I'm doing this next week.
So all I know is, as this is happening, in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, of course, the one time I have my two hockey buddies and we're going to go out drinking, I'm not going to hear the end of this. That's what's going on in my head, but I'm like, screw it.
Dude, it's
going to
be worth it.
This is going to be a fun story, a fun moment, and I genuinely do love Randy Myers. He's one of my favorite people, and I know this is kind of a cool moment, and it's like you're part of his exclusive club, the people who've been kissed by Randy Myers. So I was like, you know what? Let's go with it.
And they all have the same cold sore.
Exactly. And it doesn't hurt that bad.
Yeah. So, there's a little campophonique there, pal.
Of course, he's pitching it to me. Munson and Jay, of course, pull out their phone right when they realize what's about to happen so they can record it. And I have the audio.
Nice.
And it's funny because you can, I'm like, screw it. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to ham it up. So, of course, I get the microphone after he proposes this kiss. And I'm like, I'm going to have some fun with this. And so here's what happened when Randy Myers kissed me on Saturday.
I want you to kiss me. This is about consent.
Yeah! Oh, yeah. People are in. I love all the chicks cheering.
But I love the kissing chants. So, darling, would you?
Yeah, the fans are crowning and chanting yes.
Yes.
Yeah. If I say no at that moment, I think I might start a riot.
What do you think, Defiance? Make some noise if you love Randy Myers as much as I do.
He's freaking out. I open up my arms like, light one on, and here comes the reaction. Place goes nuts. While his music's playing.
At last, my love has come along.
Yes.
We need a photo.
Oh, I'm sure there's going to be photos. The video's out there. I can show you the
great
quick clip of where is it.
Well, people are just going wild for that.
Bro, people were losing their freaking mind.
That's
and it
so
was like
awesome.
It was like one of those moments that just kind of brought the house down. It was like, here's the video.
This is about consent. Yeah.
Yeah, Steve's on point. He's just standing there with a big smile.
Yes.
Is he kind of working the crowd like, should I? There's the open arms.
Make some noise if you love Randy Myers as much as I do.
Have you already been wrestling, Steve?
I wasn't. He wrestled.
Okay, because it's a shadow. I thought you were glazed in sweat. Susan said, "Kiss me." Steve's just sweating. Oh, Oh, there it is.
And he takes a bump to the ground.
Yeah, as soon as they kiss, the guy goes flying backwards and hits the mat.
I love it.
That was rad.
And someone had in the back like, what was it like? Like someone right behind me. I look over and go, it was sweaty. And it was just like, it was. He just wrestled. So his whole face is drenched. And so it's like this, like, and it felt
tastes
like
salt.
It felt like a sloppy kiss, but it wasn't a sloppy kiss. It was like a quick peck. But the rest of his face was so sweaty.
Just moist flesh.
I'm just covered in Randy Meyer's sweat. The place went nuts. It was the talk of the night amongst other people. It was a blast.
That's
like,
great.
Like, honestly, and the best part was, I got a text from my wife, how's wrestling going? I was like,
I kissed a boy.
I go, it's been great. I kissed a man. And that's all I wrote. And she's like, what?
Oh, I was waiting for the no reply.
Yeah, right. I need to process this.
And then Jay, I guess he texted his girlfriend.
She replies, that's hot.
She's like, he goes, he's like, I'm having a blast in Portland. Migs just kissed a dude. And he hadn't heard from her for like hours. And finally, she's like, what do you mean by that? And then he's like, it was a wrestling thing. And
oh, it's like, now I have to explain. I would just be like, well, hey, it's exactly like I said.
It's like, yeah. I said it was. We were at a restaurant and the maitre d' was very friendly and Migs was like, fair enough.
We leave there and then the two of them.
The meal
like,
was comped.
Munson and Jay are like, so do you want to go to the Acropolis to get that taste of a man's kiss out of your mouth? And I was like, you sons of bitches. Like, you realize we're never going to let this die. I'm like, you wouldn't be my friends if you did let it
right?
die.
Yeah.
Like, I expect to be made fun of for that because it's just what we do as friends.
And it's, you know, funny.
And it was great.
Like, every part of it was funny.
The whole moment was great. I had a blast. I mean, and like I said, I genuinely love Randy Meyer.
Recently, right?
That was Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, there was a, just watching the video, there was a damn good crowd.
It was a packed house.
What was going on?
Oh, yeah.
That's killer, man.
Yeah, it was, dude, it's always a blast. And Portland's always a great time. And it was awesome. It was awesome.
Keeping Portland weird, Steve.
That's right.
Good job.
Yeah.
With the weirdo hero.
Well done, man.
All right, well, next time maybe we'll do a full thingy-mo-job of emails, voicemails, and text messages.
I'm sure we will.
Thanks. Don't stop emailing or calling.
Don't.
Yeah. Please don't.
Please don't. Like, we love hearing from you guys, but sometimes.
And we'll get to them sometime.
I didn't get to see these guys last week.
Like, for instance.
And I've had a lot of coffee, and then we got into Afghan wigs, and, you know. They're going to have to scrape me off the ceiling with a snow shovel, you know?
For instance, that email that I was asking you for advice on guitar playing, that came to us on December 26th. So we get to these eventually.
It's only a month and a few weeks away.
The dude is like giving up and burned his guitar. Like, you never got back to me. I've taken up the recorder. I'm like, oh,
I chopped my hand
off. Man.
I chopped my hands off. Anyways, before we go to Kickstarter, type in Travis, The Last Funeral.
Yes.
Our boy Travis, our front man of Bruiser Brody, is working on a solo record, no different than how Bruiser Brody did it, and also Glenn Cannon. He's hoping that people could help front the cost and pre-order the record ahead of time. So if you just go into Kickstarter and search Travis, The Last Funeral, or just Google Kickstarter, Travis, Last Funeral, you will find his Kickstarter. I've donated. I know all of us have. BJ even donated, which I thought was cool.
Nice.
Like, he was really touched by.
He's got some really amazing musicians that are going to be a part of this. Kyle Court from Superfecta is going to be doing all the keys and piano stuff for him. JT Phillips is going to be his guitarist.
The old drummer from Second Coming.
From Second Coming is his drummer. I'm not sure who he has on bass yet, but. And I've heard, I mean, we've heard that No Ordinary Man song that he sent us. That's one of the pieces of material he's doing, but he's, you know, he's talking about. He's really trying to create something unique and special. Like, I'm super excited about it.
And if it's anything like the funky blues horn stuff that he did at Highway 99 Blues Club.
Oh, my God, yeah. Those sets were incredible.
Yeah.
If you didn't get to see his solo sets at Highway 99, they were just... They were so incredible because they were all over the map.
Yeah.
Like, he'd do a folky acoustic tune, then he'd sit down at the piano and just this moody, vibey. And then, you know, he was doing that thing for a minute, a couple sets in a row where he ended his set singing Italian opera.
Yeah, yeah.
So you just sit there like...
That is so insane.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. You sit there in the audience like, dude, really? I mean, you talk about being entertained. It's really something. So, yeah, everybody.
Help him out.
You're going to want to... This is going to happen, but you're going to want to be a part of it because it's going to be something really special. I know he's got Kelly Gray on board, I think, to mix and produce. So.
Very cool.
Yeah, man, it's going to be good. So, yeah, get on Kickstarter and support our boy Travis. You won't regret that. I promise you that.
Yeah. So we're going to roll on out, but like I said, help him out. Looking forward to the next. And also, Travis will be with us, I don't think next week, but the week after.
Cool.
To come hang out and talk about the Kickstarter, trying to get one last push in so people could help him get to his goal. I think he's a few thousand dollars away from the goal, but he's got some time. So help him out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make it happen. Let's show some solidarity
for
Travis.
Join hands and get behind him.
That's right. Other than that, I don't really think we have anything coming up to promote. I've already mentioned the wrestling and all that.
Yeah.
And you've got your solo record.
Making a record.
Steel Panther, of course. We're going to be playing with them in Vancouver on April 11th, 12th, and 13th. Get tickets before they sell out because the 13th is already sold out. So the other two, it's inevitable that they will sell out as well. And it's going to be a party. So we're looking forward to that. Other than that, reach us at 253-271-4787 or themixcast@gmail.com. All right.
Stay positive.
Keep those hands in the hair.
Rev's not even counting down.
No, I don't have to anymore.
You want me to babble for a minute?
No. Actually, I'm going to turn off your microphone now.
Let me tell you a story, dude.
Do you want me to give you a kiss?
No.
I'm into kissing dudes now.
At least you're not sweaty.
That's very true.
Wow.